You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Lucky Land Casino. Asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the fabulous 54 Below. Before we get started this evening, just a polite reminder, please take this moment to silence your cell phones, and also there is no flash photography, please.
Welcome to the 54 Below podcast. I'm Nell Avera, the club's director of marketing. Our guest today is a New York City-based performer who has originated numerous principal roles in various Broadway productions, including such shows as The Wedding Singer, Grease, Honeymoon in Vegas, and more. He is a longtime member of the band The Petersons, who have performed all over New York over the course of almost 20 years. On February 3rd, he returns to 54 Below with his solo show featuring all original music. The show's name is Y Colegas. Matthew Saldivar, welcome to our podcast.
Thank you.
We're so excited to have you at 54 Below. How are you doing? For everyone listening, we're taping this a couple of weeks before the holidays.
I'm in Minneapolis, Minnesota, and it is snowing outside. I'm looking out my window, and there's a beautiful snowfall. And across the street is the Guthrie Theater, where I'm performing in a Christmas carol, which is very much
amazing.
A holiday tradition. So that's
oh.
2 years running, that's a holiday tradition for me.
Oh, that's so fun. You know, I'm kind of obsessed with the Christmas carol. I see it everywhere I can. It's my favorite Dickens novel. I've read it many times. So that just makes me so happy. And I haven't seen the Guthries. So one of these years, I'm going to have to go see it.
Yeah, this is a new production that we built last year.
Great. How fun.
I'm sure people really appreciate it. They do. It's quite moving.
Let me ask you about your show at 54 Below. Is this your first solo show with us?
This is my first solo show.
It's titled Y Colegas. What's your inspiration for the show?
Well, originally I was going to perform during Hispanic Heritage Month, but I had to push my concert because I got a job that I could not refuse. Fortunately, 54 Below is very accommodating and gave me a new date. But originally, there was going to be a greater focus on the songs that I've written that are in Spanish. And so I fittingly had a subtitle there under my name that said Y Colegas, referring to friends of mine who I've played with before and who I expected to play with in October. And now those colegas will be playing with me in January, with maybe a few less songs in Spanish.
That's so exciting. So you're singing your own music written in both English and Spanish. Did you grow up in a household that spoke both languages?
Yes. I wasn't raised bilingual, but my father is from Mexico, and my mother learned Spanish over the course of their marriage. And I also learned Spanish over the course of my life. And so a lot of the songs that I wrote in Spanish were attempts to kind of get closer to that part of my family culture and to that part of myself. And I also wrote a number of songs while I was doing a master's in Spanish at Middlebury College over the summers as in my 30s, really. And so every summer I would write a tune up there and perform it at the end of the summer in their summer cabaret. Yeah.
Oh, that's so fun. Yeah. So do you write in English and translate to Spanish, or do you write in Spanish from the get-go?
Well, I mean, most of what I write in English, period.
Mm-hmm. But
I write in, when I write in Spanish, I write with Spanish as the original language, so to speak.
Oh, fantastic.
And it's, yeah, fantastic. And it's just, it's a fun way to, for me to explore language and imagery, because the things that, the words that I reach for or that come to me, or the images that, manifest in the songs, the ideas are a little more surprising to me, and I'm mm-hmm. a little more forgiving of them than I am in English. You know, you're always, one is always so worried about, somebody's already said that before, said it better, you know, for somehow, because Spanish is my second language and kind of full of mystery still.
Yeah.
There's just more to be discovered in that for me.
Yeah, I love that you did a master's. That's something that I've wanted to do. Maybe not a master's, but take more Spanish language classes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Spanish was my first language, and then I learned English, and kind of English has taken over. But sometimes I think in Spanish, and sometimes I translate in my head in Spanish, or I dream in Spanish, which is weird.
Yeah,
but I have the vocabulary of an 8-year-old, because that's how old I was when I came. So I would love to take, I think in college I took a Cervantes class, but I would love to do something like a master's, or at least an extended period where I catch up to adult language rather than 8-year-old language. So Matt, tell us who or what are some of your musical inspirations?
So I grew up with a group of really close-knit friends, and we spent our summers playing frisbee in high school and college. And one summer I said, we got to find something else to do besides play frisbee. I said, we should buy instruments and have a band. So that was the first band I ever played with. And we learned classic rock songs mostly. And so that was the original inspiration for me. And a lot of what I write is still kind of born out of the classic rock vibe.
Were there any particular artists that you loved that you guys covered a lot?
Well, we still play a lot of Neil Young. I still play with those guys, and we play a lot
oh
of Neil
gosh.
Young. A lot of Rolling Stones now, you know.
And I think you have one of them is coming to join you on stage.
Yeah. One of my childhood friends. We've been friends, we like to say, since the Ford administration. Mark Springer is going to be playing guitar with me on...
fantastic.
Yeah.
So tell us about your band for the concert.
Well, you know, one never knows who's going to show up for a number of reasons. But I'm hoping to have my friend Sean Knoll on saxophone and flute, and the great actor and musician Rick Holmes on drums. Hopefully my friend Josh Rua on multiple instruments, and then my friend Mark on guitar.
You know, wonderful.
The thing is that, like, I am, as I've said before, more of an actor who sings than a great tenor of the musical theater of Broadway. But my interest in music has provided me with tremendous opportunities. Had I not spent all of these years kind of writing my own music and, like, buying many guitars and sticking them under the sofa and, you know, just spending time in my room making melodies and sounds just for my own satisfaction, for my own joy, and out of my own longing, then I don't think that I would have had these opportunities to work with truly, truly great musicians in the theater, composers in the theater. I did a show with Randy Newman in Los Angeles, singing his music, and
oh, wow.
It was called Randy Newman's Harps and Angels that Jerry Zaks directed, and it was just a song through, kind of a song cycle, I guess, of his music. And you know, I met him and worked with him, and I mean that's mind bending to me that I would have ever ended up working with someone like that. Or I worked on an Elvis Costello musical, and it's like sang a solo like with Elvis Costello, like teaching it to me on the piano. And I worked on Stephen Sondheim's last musical, and you know, with him in the room singing a solo for him. I mean, like that's crazy. You know, I never thought of myself as that kind of person in the musical theater, but my love for music, my love of music,
yeah,
gave me the chance to to work with those people. So, you know, whenever I'm strumming on my guitar and trying to write a little ditty, I think, well, you know, it's paid off. Maintaining your love and your relationship to music has paid off, you know.
And so many shows now have a different sound, or, you know, they're not so many are the same old sort of golden age musicals anymore. And there's plenty of rock and roll and contemporary sounds. In fact, I interviewed somebody a few months ago that said, you know, she's a legit soprano. She's like, there's no more parts for legit sopranos in contemporary, right, you know, music. And
yeah,
I just thought, that's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, it's so crazy to me. But, you know, it's great in the sense that other types of sounds are in our world now. And you're not the first actor who has a rock and roll heart, you know, like a Norbert Leovitz or Jared Spector, you know, who loves Springsteen but does a lot of musical theater. So I think it all serves you so well, because you are able to be so versatile. If somebody has a rock and roll show, or, you know, an Elvis Costello show, you know, they know who to call out of these actors who have this range of musical styles. That's so great. In terms of, you know, your show, so you said that you were inspired by rock and roll. Has that always been, or did you ever have like different phases? Like a lot of people, you know, you fall into different types of phases, like new age, or is it most, are you really a rock and roll guy, or, you know, are there some ballads in your show? Or?
There are a lot of ballads in my
show.
I mean, really, like, frankly, like most of what I write has to do with love and longing, and that is that's true for a great many writers throughout history.
Taylor Swift, right?
Oh, absolutely, who's a tremendous songwriter. But that's really what I write about, and you know, people shouldn't be scared of that, because it's the feeling of love and longing that all human beings feel. And like in Sufi poetry, you know, there's this, that concept that, you know, it's the desire to be rejoined to the beloved.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
You have a strong background as a classical actor. I've seen you at the Public, at Classic Stage, at Tofana. I even saw the Much Ado at the Shakespeare Theater, and something at Hudson Valley Shakes. I think it was the Scottish play.
I have not performed at Hudson Valley.
Oh, okay. So
too bad, because I grew up directly across the river, and that's where I rehearsed
with
the band. It's Ian Garrison.
Okay, so, but I did see you at the Shakespeare Theater in Much Ado, I think.
Yes, you did.
Don John? Yes. Okay.
Yes. Yeah.
But, so then I was really surprised when I saw you in a musical, because I assumed you were a Shakespeare guy. You know? How did you, did you train as a classical actor, or as a musical actor, or as a musician?
I got my MFA in acting at NYU. And so, you know, I studied all kinds of things in that program, including what one would call a kind of a classical training. My experiences as a professional have been quite varied, and I'm really, really grateful for that. I believe I've done somewhere around 15 like full professional productions of musicals.
Wow.
And yet I've as you say, like I've done a lot of other kinds of theater, from some kind of really far out stuff and really, really, off Broadway, stuff that I've created, as well as, you know, as you say, actual classical work, Shakespeare and, Ben Jonson and,
or classical adjacent, the Bernhardt play.
Bernhardt, Hamlet.
St. Joan,
yeah,
too, right?
Shaw. And I'm just incredibly grateful to be able to have opportunities in those worlds, which for some people I've heard feel quite exclusive.
Yeah, I was going to ask, you know, how you've managed to stay so versatile, because so many actors, particularly the ones of our generation, tended to be pigeonholed into certain types or styles, and then once you were that, you were that. And when you look back at your career, you know, how do you think you managed, you know, apart from talent and luck, you know, to be so versatile?
It's because I was given the opportunities to do that. You know, I was afforded the education to be able to learn some skill sets that give me a chance to do it, or give me like the credentials, so to speak, to do it, so that I am considered for those roles or for those opportunities. So, you know, I'm really grateful to my education, not just because I did learn some skill sets, but because those particular educations at Middlebury College and at NYU, I feel, gave me some access, and yeah, I don't take that for granted. You know, I'm really grateful for that.
Yeah. I also have a theory, which I think actors who have musical abilities can do classics well. Something to do with the heightened language and being able to wrap your mouth around it. And I've always, sure, you know, because there's a musicality and a rhythm.
It also takes a lot of breath.
Yeah.
And breathing is a big part of music, obviously. and not just singing, you know, I mean, you know, when people play an instrument, there's this kind of a breathing that goes along with it. And this, you know, these elongated breaths or, you know, quick kind of pulses. And that's very, very much a part of speaking those complex, long lines of classical text.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that makes sense. When you look back at your career, are there any favorite roles that you can tell us about? Or any highlights, production highlights that you, that were special?
Well, that's really hard to say. As we've already discussed, I've had a real diverse set of experiences, and that's the thing that I'm most grateful for. A combination, kind of like legit dramatic role, as that went hand in hand with being in a musical, was I toured South Pacific in 2009 and 10 in the Lincoln Center production, playing Luther Billis. And that was a great, great example of being in a great piece of musical theater where you just feel like you're also just in this great script. This great, great story, very deep, very sophisticated. And
it was a beautiful production too.
Yeah. And you know, so as an actor, who loves music, to be in that production was a thrill. It was just a Cadillac production, beautifully, beautifully done. And,
absolutely stunning.
Yeah.
You were also in one of my favorite shows of all time, Peter and the Starcatcher. More than any other show, I think that show had stage movement that felt so tightly choreographed. And it was just really beautiful and moved like no other play that I've ever seen. Musicals, yes, but not plays. Can you talk a little bit about that and how, you know, what your experience was with that? did they, I don't remember, it's been so long, did they have a choreographer and a movement person?
Yeah. The great and in-demand Stephen Hoggett did the movement for that, and he is ubiquitous. He's a very special talent, and so he was a great part of that, you know. And Alex Timbers was also a big part of creating that kind of a intricate aesthetic, using human bodies as well as scenic elements. But yeah, as you say, highly choreographed, very specific. Yeah, but it was an amazing show. I was very, very fortunate to be a part of that, to come into it.
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
In addition to your work as an actor, you've been a longtime member of the Petersons, which the New York Times described as a hipster theater mock rock group with a devoted following. Can you talk more about the Petersons and how that came about and how you became involved with it?
Yeah, so the way that I got involved with the Petersons is that two of my schoolmates started that band, Adam Stein and Kira Naughton, two of my schoolmates from NYU and the graduate acting program. And so they came to me one day and said, hey, we're thinking of starting a band. Would you like to be in it? And I said, sure. And they said, cool. Can you play drums? And I said, yes, which is not entirely true, but you know, I could play a little drums. So I said, yes. They're like, great, you'll be the drummer. And then they came back and they said, hey, we have this other friend who's this great drummer. We want to be in the band. So can you play lead guitar? I'm not really a lead guitar player either, but I said, yes, I'll play lead guitar. And they said, great. And then they came back and they're like, hey, we found this other guy from Juilliard who's like a genius lead guitar player. Can you play bass? Would you play bass? And I said, yes. So for the second time in my life, I ended up playing bass in a band because nobody else wanted to do it. No, because just because I said yes. And so that band.
But you did play bass. Yes.
Yeah. You know, a bit. Again, I come out of like a punk rock and roll kind of place, you know. So that band became the Petersons, and that was a theatrical outfit, and we did basically like a situation comedy, like a serialized live narrative about this group of fictional folk from upstate New York who were in a band. And so we did, it was kind of like sketch comedy and improv, as well as these sets of original music. And we did many, many, many of those. I don't know how many, but dozens of live shows around New York, and did it for about really almost, I don't know, 18 years, something like that, 16 years.
Oh my gosh. Wow.
Yeah.
And did it surprise you? Like how, you know, the longevity, but also the following that they developed. Whether the band developed?
Yes, certainly. The longevity is the truly surprising part, but it's a lovely group of people, and we worked with a lot of friends. We'd have friends come in as guests, and so it really kind of was a self-fulfilling prophecy that it built this kind of little community around it. And so we stuck together, I think, because ultimately we really love each other. We had our cliche band struggles, because every band is a self-fulfilling prophecy. They're not built to last, generally speaking, because they are chosen families, and they come with all of the drama of a family, you know. But they're not your family, so you can split.
your
own family if you want, you know. But you know what I mean.
Yeah, totally. And then, you know, you're for this show at 54 Villa, you're performing your own music. So how would you describe your music and your style and this type of stuff that you like to write and perform?
Well, I mean, for starters, when 54 Below asked me if I was interested in doing a show, I said yes, for a number of reasons. One, because it's good to say yes, generally speaking. And because, I'm still kind of a bit in that pandemic mindset where it's like, I just want to do things and make things, and I don't want anything to stop me. And, you know, so many of us, fought through that time, like doing whatever we could to stay creative. And so
exactly.
I wasn't about to hem and haw about the opportunity to do a show at 54 Below. I was like, I'll be there and I'll bring some friends. And then the question was, well, what do I want to do for a show at 54 Below? You know, I've seen many, many shows there. I've performed as a member of the Petersons there. I've performed with all kinds of kind of shows in concert, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And as part of a series of, you know, composers presenting their work, collections of songs and whatnot. So I've seen a lot of stuff at 54 Below. And I have so many friends who've done solo shows, and you know, there's a lot of musical theater, and there's a lot of American Songbook, and there's a lot of pop, you know, music like An Evening of
Lady Gaga,
yeah. And which is awesome, and I would love to do all of those versions of a show. You know, I would love to. There's so many writers that I love. The reason that I wanted to play my own music was because making my own music has been such a huge part of my life. It's been a very, very big part of my private life. Much of the music that I played with the Petersons was written by other members of the band. We all wrote. And so I had a collection of songs that I did with that band. But I've been writing music since the early 90s. Actually, since the early 90s. And so those are very, very, very personal, private endeavors that have been very important to me in terms of sustaining me as a creative person throughout my career, in my travels and in my relationships. And so I saw the opportunity to play an evening of my own material in a really high quality venue, in an intimate venue, and I just didn't want to miss the opportunity to do that and to get friends to play with me and to invite friends to be with me and with each other in a room and to experience that. I say with great humility, you know, because I know that I'll be kind of the focus of the event, but it really has a lot to do with just getting people together to, hopefully enjoy sound, made by humans who are there to make sound for you. And that sound will contain some of my own personal meditations and thoughts and rhymes and melodies. And so I hope that will be a beautiful thing, and something that people will appreciate being together for.
Yeah, I think we will. You know, that's the special part of an intimate venue, is that you get to see an artist in a different way than you would on a larger stage, and you get to kind of peek into their soul and their heart a little bit more. So that's very exciting. And, you know, we love all of our shows, but I do find that the ones that are more personal like this, where people are performing their music, often just really reveal so many things about, you know, this person that we're seeing on stage. So that's great. We're so excited.
Thank you so much for taking some time to talk to me about it. And I'm so honored and excited to be playing 54 Below on February 3rd.
Thank you. It was a real pleasure. Matthew Saldivar makes his solo debut at 54 Below on February 3rd at 9:30 p.m. Limited tickets are still available, so grab yours now at 54below.com.
You've been listening to the 54 Below podcast, part of the Broadway Podcast Network. Subscribe and rate us on Apple Podcasts or your favorite podcast app.
If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but yeah. Not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.
Hey, it's Leslie Odom Jr. here on the Broadway Podcast Network to tell you about the RISE Theater Directory, a program of Maestro Music. RISE is a national online resource designed to connect and empower backstage and administrative and creative theater professionals from underrepresented backgrounds. If you work or aspire to work in the theater community, this can help you find your next project. And if you hire theater professionals, search the RISE Theater Directory to find your next team. Create your profile now and get more information by visiting risetheater.org. That's theater with an RISETHEATRE.org, because only together we rise.